Matthew's on the job. Thank you. Luke chapter 11. Again, we're looking at prayer again this evening. Let me make sure my mic's on. Yeah, it's on. Luke chapter 11, we're going to just read verse 1 through 4 tonight. Verse 1 through 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do want to stop tonight, and Lord, to ask you to bless. Lord, it's all in vain unless you bless, and Lord, I pray now, God, you just give me a clarity of thought, give me clarity of speech, and Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, give us all ears to hear. Lord, I know it's your desire to speak to our hearts tonight, so Lord, I pray that we'd be listening to your voice, and Lord, I pray when you speak, I pray that we would heed your voice, and Lord, thank you for the lessons we've had so far in prayer this year, and Lord, thank you, Lord, for the way you spoke to my heart through these lessons, and even this lesson. Lord, I pray you'd help me to learn to pray. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So there, you see there in your paper, the text is in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. And then the title of the lesson is prayer. Then the introduction, the illustration, they was an old lumberjack and a young lumberjack. You know, and they were out in the woods and they were working together. You know, and the yet the younger man, he challenged the older one to a contest to see who could chop the most trees in a day's time. You know, so the older guy, he accepted the contest. You know, and then they get together, gave me the net, and then the next morning, you know, and all the people was watching. They made a big ordeal of it, and they both began to chop. Well, after the first hour, the old man stopped, and he stopped and he sat down while the younger guy just kept on chopping, and then the next hour, the old guy stopped and he sat down. You know, and the whole day, almost every hour, the old guy would stop. You know, so the young guy was quite confident that he was ahead and he was going to win the contest. And then at the end of the day, they counted the trees that had been fallen, and the old guy had more. You know, and the younger said, "How in the world were you able to get more trees chopped? You know, but you stopped every hour." And the old man said, I stopped every hour, I sharpened my axe. And because he would stop and take time to sharpen his axe, his axe was sharper, and he was able to cut trees faster. And when I heard that, you know, I thought of the illustration, you know, for the lesson this evening. Many times, I think we get busy in life, and we forget to stop and pray. It says in verse 1, it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him. We see here that Christ was praying as he always did, and they had watched his life. It says here that, that they even remembered the prayer life of John the Baptist. You know, and these disciples had seen firsthand the importance of prayer and the power that prayer can produce. My thought here tonight, these disciples desired to have a prayer life. They desired to have prayer and have power in their prayer, and they went to the one that they had watched faithfully pray, and they remembered one they had watched pray, and they had a desire for prayer. Tonight, these lessons are all in vain. Unless we have a desire to pray. I really believe that the effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do I really believe that prayer is the answer? Do I really believe that I, Rick Salee, a nobody, can come before an almighty God and have my prayers heard and answered. The disciples here, with Pastor Preach, I didn't realize how close it was to the message he preached, I think, last week, I think Matthew 6. But just last week, the message he preached was when Christ first started his ministry, and now this is the prayer just before Gethsemane here, in context, and Christ is still faithful to pray, and they have been watching him all this time, and they've seen the power of prayer, they've seen the miracles, they've seen folks raised from the dead, that they've seen the multitudes fed, they have seen the waves stopped. And then the storms abated. They've seen all these things, and they have a desire to pray. I think today, what our church needs more than anything else is to stop and to pray. We come on Thursday nights for a prayer meeting. Do we come to pray? Do we come to share prayer requests with others? And do we come to listen to others, knowing that our prayers can make a difference? We pray for the lost. Do we believe the lost can get saved? We pray for folks to be healed. Do we believe that God can heal people? We pray for the sick to be raised up. Do we believe that God can raise the sick? Yes, he can. But if I believe it, has it changed my life? If I believe, let's say that Nicholas was my brother and he was lost and he was going to a place called hell, I would believe as a Christian that God could save him. I would know it in my head. But if I didn't know it in my life, I wouldn't pray for him as much, because it hadn't changed my life yet. So I want to look at just a couple of the elements of prayer. So we see number one, the pattern desire that they desire to pray. And I think if we knew what they had seen, it would change our prayer life. So let's just look at a couple of these elements here. So number one, the prayer desire. Number two, the elements of prayer. With letter A, look if you would at verse two, the first part of verse two, that our Father which art in heaven. I think that's about resting. I think the blank there is resting. Our Father which art in heaven, it's about resting. Number one, we see he is God. Look at Jeremiah 23:24. We see first of all here, Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill the heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. We see number one here that he is God. We see that he is omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. There's nowhere that he is not at right now. Then look over to Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33. We see here that he's omniscient. He's all knowing. Romans 11:33 says this: "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." So we see that he's omnipresent. We see he's omniscient. And then look at Jeremiah 23:27. Back over to the book of Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah 23:27. We'll look up quite a few verses tonight. Jeremiah 23:27. Which think to cause by people to forget my name by their dreams. That's the wrong one. Jeremiah Jeremiah chapter 32. Thank you. Jeremiah chapter 32. Bad when you can't even read your own notes. And they're typed. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. It's the bifocals. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We see here that he's omnipresent. We see he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And then look over to Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. We see that he's immutable. He's always the same. He never changes. He's all present. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He never changes. And then look over at Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. We see here he is almighty God. He's all these things. Psalm chapter 90 and maybe verse 2. We see he's eternal. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, and from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. So we see that he's eternal. So we see our Heavenly Father. We see number one that he is God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's immutable. He's eternal. Now look over to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. He is God. He's also my Father, which is in heaven. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. Not only is he omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, immutable, and eternal. Not only is he all these things. He's our Father. He's our Father. The God that never changes is our Father. The God that's all powerful is our Father. The God that's all knowing, he's my Father. He's our Heavenly Father. Do I really understand that? You know, we have the idea of God and his power. You know, he's creating, right? And all these things that he's done and all that he is. But he's that. But even more, he's our Father. He's our Father. In our lives, do I understand that this God is my Father, and he cares? He's my Father, and he cares, and he's in heaven. It says over the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we are seated in the heavens. So stop for a second. Bear with me just a second. Stop and think. The Almighty God, the immutable one, all-powerful one, all-knowing one, eternal, all-present God. He's not just God. He's our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. God our Father's in heaven tonight. He wants to hear from his children. I love my son. We love to talk in text. I love my daughter. We love to talk in text. No matter how close they are, how far away, they're always my kids. In our lives, no matter how far we seem to be from God, we think of abstract God. He's right. Rick, are you free? Come here real quick. Here's my son. It's been a long time since I've used him up here. You know what? He will always be my son. I will always be his father. There's a bond between a father and a child. The father wants to protect and to provide for, and to do things with. You know, he wants all those things. Do I understand that God, my heavenly Father, wants to hear from me? Our Father, which art in heaven, in our lives. Thank you. And in our lives, when's the last time that we honestly stopped and took time to talk to our Father? We stop and it's time to talk to our Father. So, number one, we see the first element of prayer. It's that of resting in our Heavenly Father. And on down to letter B, we see back in the book of Luke chapter 11 and in verse 2, back to Luke 11, 2. Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We see here it's about reverence. Reverence. Taking time to reverence God. Look, if you would, at Psalm 119. I think Pastor referred to this last week. Psalm 111:9. I promise I didn't just copy his lesson. Psalm 111:9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. We serve a God that's holy. Then look at Psalm 29:2. Psalm 29:2. Psalm chapter 29, in verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Then on over to Ephesians 5:20. A lot of verses. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, first of all, we ought to hallow his name by our words. Just stop and take time to praise God for who he is and what he's done for us. He is a God that's holy. And then the second line there, look at Romans 8:9. Look at Romans 8:9. It's called the law of unconscious assimilation. Romans 8:9. Rachel was I'm not saying she was aggravated at Rick Urena, I guess, but she said, personally, she said, there's somebody, I just don't like you. Because unfortunately, my son has picked up some of my habits. Romans 8:9 says, nope, that's the wrong one. Romans 8:39. 8:29. Sorry. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. The law of unconscious assimilation is simply this: when I'm around someone so much, I become like them. The law of unconscious assimilation is when I'm around someone so much, I unconsciously become more like them. Now, I was thinking that I'm not as exalted today. I got to think of the people in my life that I know of that was what I would call a prayer warrior. And they were holy people. Not holy like God is holy, but their lives was holy. The more time they spent with the Lord in prayer, the more holy in their life they came. Because prayer not only changes situations, prayer changes me. As I draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to me. I become more like him. So so the element of prayer is resting. One of is resting. One is reverence. And then look on down to, back to Luke chapter 11 verse 2. Luke 11 2. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We see thy letter C, thy kingdom come. It's about a reason to further the kingdom. The kingdom is a rule of God in the hearts of men today. The kingdom. You can go down to number two. There's a pastor that's visiting one of the shut-ins. He's talking to her. She said, "Pastor, I've been all over town today, helping others." He looked at her. He said, "But I forget what her name was supposed to be, but Sister So and So, how were you out?" All over town today. He said, "Oh, I was here in prayer today. I prayed for my church. Pew by pew by pew, I prayed for my church. Today I prayed for the lost people that's on our prayer list that we the church have been praying for name by name by name. Today I prayed for you." And she went down her prayer list. She was confined to a bed, but yet through prayer, she was working the cause of Christ. As I understand that God is an almighty God, but he's my Father, as I understand the importance to praise him in prayer and praise him in my life, as I understand that my prayer can make a difference in the lives of people. My dad, the day he got saved, he had turned up. He used to hide in the woods in the rain. People come out talking to me. He'd go to the woods and hide in the woods. He'd hide under a bed. My dad wanted nothing to do with Christians for a long time. And one day he woke up. He said, Rick, I was heading to work, and there was just something came over me. I had to get saved, or I had to die that day. He said, "I was either going to get saved that day or kill myself." Conviction came on him. Heavy conviction came on him. He turned around, came back home, and called a youth director that used to be here, because dad, Chuck Brooks. And Chuck blamed the Lord. What happened? The power of prayer stepped in. All the years of prayer, people had been praying for him and asking for his life. God, that worked. The power of prayer. Somebody was praying. There have been times here, folks, with Isabella Bird, a walking miracle. What's happened? People took time to pray, and they made a difference in the lives of others. Does our prayer life make a difference? Yes. Am I praying? That's the question. Do I have a desire to pray and see God answer my prayers? When's the last time that I really realized that the Almighty God, the one we looked at, he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, that same God is my Father? The other night, I got a text from Brother Harris about 2 weeks ago. We got a text about how we get to, Brother Harris said, "Please pray." And, Professor, I was texting back for him, and we began to look stuff up on the internet. We began to pray. You know why? Prayer. Our God, even though we're here, we can get our knees and be in Magdalena, Mexico, there in support of our missionary, Brother Harris, and say, "God, please keep him safe tonight. Lord, watch over him. Take care of him, Lord. He needs your help tonight. God, please take care of him." The all-knowing, the almighty God, our Father, was there. My question is, do we have a desire to pray? So we see the first element of prayer was that of resting, that of reverence, and then we see a reason, and then look on to letter D, thy that they will be done. We see a resigning. I submit my will to God's will. Look, if you would, at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Wrong one. First John chapter 5. I'll get there. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, and we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Am I willing to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done? We see in the life of Christ, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. We talked in Sunday school on Sunday about Abraham, and it says in Hebrews, it says, and by faith, Abraham offered Isaac up. By faith, Abraham had already resigned his will to God's will. Abraham knew that God could work all these things out. He trusted God. Prayer is this. Well, I can honestly say, pray, God, I know that you're all knowing. I know you're all powerful. I know you're all present. I know you're all these things. Lord, I know you're my Father. And Lord, I know you want the best for my life. I'm sure that Abraham did not understand what God was asking him to do, but he trusted God. Now, the first time he was tried, he failed. The first time they was in Egypt, and I mean, they was in Canaan, a famine came, they got scared and went down to Egypt. But this time, he was tried again, and this time, he had much faith. In our lives, as we grow in the Lord, our faith should grow, our faith should increase. So should our prayer life. In our lives today, do I really trust God, my Father? Hey, Rick, do you trust me? Come here a second. You can come here real quick. He says, no, Dad. Don't make me a liar. It's my desire that my son would trust me, where if I call and say, Ricky, I have to have this. Can you help me? I need this. That he would come. It's my desire that that my son would respect me enough to say, Ricky, I know you don't understand this, but this is what we need to do here in this situation. Now, I'm just a human father. I don't have all of the omniscience and omnipresence and immutability. I don't have all that, but I still want my son to trust me. And you trust me, at least some. I'm sure it's not unlimited. I can put you on the spot. Because my wife don't trust me unlimited, unlimited. But the bottom line is this. Thank you. I guess it was. How much do we trust God? How much do we trust God? As Abraham, his faith grew, so should our faith in our God grow. In our lives, our prayer life reflects how much I trust God. If I have a problem and I go everywhere else but God, do I really trust God? If Nicholas is my brother and he's lost and I don't pray for him, I can't cry out in tears and say, God, please touch his heart. Lord, please speak to him. Lord, please. I really don't trust God. If I have a need, and I don't ever ask God, Lord, I need your help here. And do I really trust God, or do I trust myself? In our lives, let us make sure that we resign ourselves to saying, God, thy will, not my will, be done. So we get number one, the resting; number two, the reverence; number three, letter C, the reason; with letter D, the resigning. And then look at letter E. It says, Luke 11, verse 3 says, give us this day our daily bread. It's about requesting. Taking time to stop to say, Lord, I need your help today. Look up, if you would, at Deuteronomy 33, 25. We'll look at that first. Look at Deuteronomy 33, 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25. That thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Kind of illustration of that is like the what Brother Seeper said in his letter that it was just read. Taking time each day to stop and say, Lord, can you guide my steps today? Lord, I have this need, I have that need, to stop each day, day by day, and say, God, I need your help. This morning, before we left our houses this morning, did we stop and say, Lord, I need your help today? Lord, I have this need, I have that need. Lord, my plans are to do this or that. Lord, is that what you want me to do? So then on the letter F there on the back, letter F, look back at Luke 11:4. Luke chapter 11 and verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It's about releasing or letting go. Number one, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. Number one, taking time to confess our sins and letting go of those sins. And I learned Ephesians 4:32 be the next one. Ephesians 4:32. Not only should we confess our sins, but forgive others as well. Ephesians 4:32 says this: and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We want God to forgive us of our sins. Do we forgive others that have wronged us? Hey, but you don't understand. They really hurt me. Well, we really hurt God. How do you think our Heavenly Father feels whenever we get off into sin? Don't stop and take time to pray. Don't take time to read our Bibles. Don't take time to read the Word of God. Maybe watch something we shouldn't watch. Listen to something we shouldn't watch. And yet, when we ask Him to forgive us, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Ephesians 4:3 says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's nothing that you can do to me in this room tonight that I should not forgive you for. If Brother Tyler does something, the most horrendous thing he could do to me tonight, and then tomorrow comes back and says, Brother Slim, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. As I learn in prayer and I grow in prayer, I think one of the elements is releasing. for letting go of confessing my sin before God, but also being able to forgive others. Then on the last thing, with letter G, back to Luke 11:4. Luke chapter 11, and verse 4 again. It says, and last part, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Letter G, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's about relying on God, relying on Him. R-E-L-Y-I-N-G, relying on Him. John 16:13. Let's go ahead and turn there. John 16:13. For God, for guidance. John chapter 16, verse 13. We should rely upon Him for God, for guidance. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth, and He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. So, number one, we should rely upon Him for guidance, to know the truth, to stay away from false teaching. And then look over 1 Corinthians 15:57. We should rely upon Him for victory in our life. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that kind of goes along with Romans 7:24. Turn over to Romans 7:24. It says 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? In Matthew chapter 4, Christ was led by the angel into the wilderness for temptation. He was tempted, and he was tried, and he came out victorious. He knew the struggles we would have. He knew the heartaches that we would have. He knew the temptation we would have, and he knew that we would need to rely on our Heavenly Father for victory in all these areas. But by the grace of God, there go I. And in devotions the other day over in a school, I was looking at the life of Peter and his failure, and I said we pointed out that there in the scripture he says, Lord, I will never. Lord, I will never. He was rely upon I. I said, but by the grace of God, I will never. The seed, and let's make sure that we're relying on our Heavenly Father. My prayer tonight for this lesson, message, whatever we want to call it, is simply this. We'd have a desire to be prayer warriors. We'd have a desire to understand that God's my Heavenly Father and He cares. That He set, down the example. That Christ came and He set down the example there in Luke, in the book of Luke, how He prayed, that we might learn to pray. As the disciples saw the prayer life of Christ in John, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They was thirsty to learn to pray. Tonight, if we're not thirsty to learn to pray, let's say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I know I need to pray. Lord, help me learn to pray. Today, America is going the wrong direction. But you know what we need? More prayer warriors. Get hold of God. Say, God, please. Bless our church, bless our pastor. Pray for our nation. A righteous man avails much. I wonder what happened to our church. If every one of us tonight would just get hold of the fact that I need to pray. And the power of prayer And I would begin to pray like it ought to be prayed and say, God, we need your help, Lord. There's people here, you know, the people that be here say that that's lost. Those bus kids, come in. Pray for them. Oh, man, pray for them. Instead of criticizing them, let's pray for them. There's some folks welcome down the street. The neighborhood is all upset about it, and rightfully so. But as I was talking to one of the ladies the other day, she said, those people, I said, it's Josh and Chastity. That's their names. They live over on Freiburger. And he came to church here as a child. Heck is that deal? And she's from Texas. Her mom is a Pentecostal preacher. It's not those people. It's the lost that need to be reached. I said, I'm glad that we're all concerned about them and our property. But have we prayed for their souls? Have we stopped and prayed? And he said, you're right. He said, I'll add them to my prayer list. And she would, and she will. But do we stop and see the importance of prayer in the folks? The Lord's blessed Cazadale, but there's been some prayer warriors here over the years. The Lord, we've had a lot of prayers answered because there's prayer warriors here. Are you a prayer warrior? You have a desire to pray. You ever just come before God brokenhearted and say, God, I need you today. But I don't know which way to turn. But the Lord, he's our Father. He's our Father. Yes. Anything I pray according to the will of God, he will answer. Tonight, if you have a desire to pray, pray. If you don't have a desire to pray, say, God, help me. Lord, teach me to pray as you did the disciples. But I want to grow in this area. I believe with all my heart, it would transform our lives. If I learned to pray, it would transform my life. This last 2 months, the Lord has, I mean, it's been right to the coals. Every time I preach, I do a lesson on prayer, and I'm, you know, as I study for it, and I read the scriptures, and I, you know, it just, you know, such a failure. I took with, you know, it's not a big deal, but I was on Facebook one morning, you know, as I was on Facebook, I scrolled down, I said, oh no, it's time to go. And I got up, and I got in the car, and I love coming to school. I thought, I didn't pray. I got wrapped up in the Facebook for 45 minutes scrolling down, see who was doing what. I deleted Facebook. Why? What's more important? Time on Facebook? Or time before a holy God that's my Father? What makes more difference in the world? My time on Facebook? And I'm not saying Facebook's bad. I'm just saying, for me, I stopped. You know, I'm not saying, it's, you know, what's more important? You know, well, what would change the world? My time on Facebook or my time on my knees? What's important? Do we take time to pray? If we could all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.